Welcome to tape number 14 of the Ark of the Covenant Opened, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption by Patrick Gillespie. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. There is no copyright on this material, and we encourage you to reproduce it and pass it on to your friends. Many free resources, as well as our complete mail-order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more, at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you do have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, please send an email to add@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. And now to our reading of Ark of the Covenant Opened, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption, which we pray you find to be a great blessing, and which we hope draws you near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing our reading of chapter 13 of the Mediator's Unction for His Offices. Concerning the nature and parts of this office, we shall only observe these three things. 1. That Christ Mediator did and doth both the parts of his office on earth and in heaven, but with this difference. 1. On earth he eminently sacrificed and offered up himself, Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Yet he interceded also, Hebrews 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. 2. In heaven he eminently intercedes, Hebrews 7:25, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, Hebrews 9:24, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. But he offereth up himself also by presenting the sacrifice and offering of himself which was once made, Hebrews 12:24. We are come, saith the apostle, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. 2. That all Christ's satisfaction and priesthood would be ineffectual for our good if he did not continue in the exercise of it by his intercession in heaven, whereby he becometh the applying cause of salvation to us, Hebrews 5, verses 10 and 11. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. 3. That the design carried on by this office is the same as in the former, to wit, reconciliation, which is promoted through this office. 1. By his giving satisfaction to justice. 2. By his application of this satisfaction and making atonement for the sins of his people. The nature and use of Christ's kingdom I lay down in these assertions. 1. That it is dispensatory. Christ Mediator is a king appointed, a viceroy and deputy governor of subordination to his Father. Psalm 2, verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. John 5, 23. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. A kingdom which is to be rendered up again to him who gave it to him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. His kingdom as mediator is not which he hath as God co-essential with his Father, but which he hath by donation and unction from his Father. 2. that it is very large, yea, universal, for it is all power in heaven and earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. And it reacheth to the upholding all things by the word of his power. Hebrews 1, verse 3. It is over all the creatures. Ephesians 1, 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, over all mankind. Daniel 7, 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. Revelation 17, verse 14. He is Lord of lords and King of kings, over the reprobate as well as the elect. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool, over all ages and generations of men. Daniel 7, verse 14. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Although it be more special, and he be a king more peculiar to the church and the elect world, Psalm 2, verses 6, 8, and 9, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, and that both outwardly by appointing them laws, ordinances, and offices. Psalm 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with judgment from henceforth and forever. And inwardly by ruling in their hearts, Luke 17, 21. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Ezekiel 36, 27. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Jeremiah 31, 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And his kingdom is over other creatures, but for the cause and behalf of the elect, Ephesians 1:22, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. 3. It is spiritual, over the souls and consciences of men, to awe and overrule the hearts of men, to captivate their affections. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. John 18, verse 36. Jesus answered and said, My kingdom is not of this world. John 6, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone, to break in pieces his enemies with an iron rod, to rule and slay them with the words of his mouth. Psalm 110, verse 2. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Isaiah 11, verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. 4. It is everlasting, Daniel 2, 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other peoples, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 7, 14. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Hebrews 1, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And although it be said, 1 Corinthians 15:24, He shall give the kingdom to his Father, yet his kingdom shall not then cease. For one, I take that to be in regard of the manner of administration of it by ordinances, officers, etc. For then all his saints shall be perfected, and all his enemies subdued, whereof something hath been already spoken. 5. In the kingdom of Christ Mediator, he doth all things with authority and power, and yet it is wholly ruled by his word and spirit. He doth all things in his kingdom, not by outward secular force, but by his influences upon the spirits of men, and determining them in a secret way, whether providentially or by saving and sanctifying influences. Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 6. The great work of his kingly power is to employ it for saving of his people, and subduing his and their enemies, to bring to pass his purpose of one and of the other, either without or against all contradiction. Psalm 110 throughout, Psalm 2 throughout. Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and also given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things of earth, and things under the earth. 7. The great and special end of Christ's kingly office is to make his other offices effectual for the saving of his elect, to support his priesthood and prophecy, and to give vigor and efficacy to them. For except Christ had been a prince that had power over his friends and foes, his other offices could never have been made effectual to the elect, nor he a captain of salvation to them. Hebrews 2:10. Therefore also he is set forth as a priest upon a throne, who carrieth all things as a king with power. Hebrews 1:3. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. It is his kingdom which effects that reconciliation, which is the end of a mediator, that which his prophecy teaches, and his priesthood and sacrifice hath purchased. He sits as a king and conveys the power of it into the soul. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 3. The harmony and consent of these three offices and our mediator, and how they do concur for the end of his mediatorship, to wit, the tristing of the differences betwixt God and man, by making a reconciliation and binding up friendship by a new covenant. Here observe the sweet concurrence of the three offices in the mediator, Christ. 1. All these offices level at one end, to wit, reconciliation and salvation, which is the great business whereof a mediator was appointed. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. But with this difference, his prophecy teaches the way of reconciliation. Acts 3:22. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. His priesthood opened the way and purchased the peace. Hebrews 9:14 and 15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. His kingdom doth effect and do the business. John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Colossians 1:20-21. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. But yet we must not conceive the actings of these offices in Christ separately, nor appropriate to any of them solely the effecting reconciliation or salvation, but understand it by way of eminency, and so the following particulars. 2. These three offices and our mediator concur to do the same work, but in diverse ways, that our reconciliation and salvation might be the more complete and sure. He would have us saved, Hebrews 7:25, to the utmost. Or, as the word is rendered by some, over and above all manner of ways. For the word, as some observe, signifies the absolute perfection in all manner of ways whereunto these three offices in our mediator concur. 1. Christ as priest through his death reconciles us to God and saveth us as captives are redeemed by ransom and price. Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered our sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Colossians 1, verses 1 and 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. 2. Christ as King by his resurrection, ascension, Christ, as King, by his resurrection and ascension, effectuates our salvation by power and conquest. Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Ephesians 4, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. 3. Christ, as Prophet, effectuates our reconciliation with God and salvation by our own consent, informing our judgments, begetting a good understanding betwixt God and us, removing mistakes, and making us willing to be reconciled unto him and saved by him. Psalm 110, verses 2 and 3. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. This he effects by treaty, till he hath concluded favor and friendship betwixt the parties, by voluntary consent in the covenant. Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. 3. These offices in our mediator sweetly concur together to meet with three great evils in our natural condition, which are comprehensive of all our misery, and to deal in taking them away. 1. Christ as a prophet dealeth with our ignorance of God and blindness, and removeth that by applying himself to us in the exercise of that teaching office. Ephesians 4, verses 18 and 21. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. 2. Christ as priest with his atonement and satisfaction dealeth with our alienation and estrangement from God and our enmity against him, which is the fruit of our ignorance of him, and by making a satisfaction to offended justice he takes away the enmity. Ephesians 4 verse 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. See Romans 5 verse 10. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Colossians 1 verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. 3. Christ as a King dealeth with our impotency and rebellion, which is the third great evil in our unnatural condition, which he sweetly subdues by the power and dominion of his grace. Psalm 45, verse 5. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Revelation 6, verse 2, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. For the harmony of these offices may be conceived thus. 1. That Christ as a prophet dealeth eminently with the understanding of men to persuade and convince them by his teaching. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 and 6, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2. Christ as a priest, as a merciful, loving, condescending man, who hath laid down his life for us, useth entreaties, and dealeth with the affections mainly, when the judgment is informed by his prophecies and teachings. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. 3. Christ as King dealeth with the wills of men, the proudest and highest enemy that Christ hath in our nature, which he subdues and overpowers by determinating grace. Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. 4. These three offices in our mediator do most pleasantly conspire in aiding and supporting one another, that each office may be vigorous and effectual for the end of his mediation. And here consider, 1. How the prophecy of Christ is aided to his priesthood and kingdom. 1. By teaching what the priesthood and kingdom of Christ are, and the way how reconciliation and peace is to be made. His prophecy teaches those mysteries of the kingdom and our salvation which other ways we could not know. John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. It showeth, 1. Where a sacrifice is to be had, and a power to make out our peace, which upon the matter is the priesthood and kingdom of Christ. Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. 1 John 2, verse 27. And ye need not that any man teach you, but at the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. 2. How to apply Christ's priesthood at first for justification, and how to apply it daily and continually for repeated pardon and forgiveness, and how to improve it as our daily sacrifice. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 3. How to live by faith, to depend upon Christ, and to be guided continually by him as the ruler of his people. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. Psalm 23:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. 2. By removing mistakes and prejudices which are so rooted in our hearts that there can be no agreement till those prejudices be taken off and a good understanding be gotten betwixt the parties. Thus Christ played the prophet to the woman of Samaria by instructing her till he had removed her mistakes and prejudices and informed her judgment right, and then he had access to deal further with her. John 4:3. By convincing of the need of his priesthood and sacrifice and of his kingdom, he doth teach his people as a prophet till they know they need a sacrifice, and till they show them where it is, and till they know they need a king and the arm of omnipotency for effecting a change of the covenant state. John 16:8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Job 33:23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, 2. Consider the priesthood of Christ concurreth with his prophecy and kingdom, and is aiding to them. 1. His priesthood is aiding to his prophecy, 1. By making God accessible through the new and living way of reconciliation taught by his prophecy. God having now accepted a sacrifice, and we have a priest by whom we may come to him. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, the flesh, and an advocate and intercessor to pray for us. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. 2. By making that great prophet more affable and condescending to us, by how much he has come near to us in our nature, and hath taken his sacrifice from among his brethren, I mean his flesh and body. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Hebrews 5, 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that they may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. 2. His priesthood is aiding to his kingdom, and that in both the parts of it. 1. In his sacrifice and satisfaction, he hath doubled his right and title to his people, and worketh their salvation by price, which as a king he doth by power and conquest. Hebrews 9, verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption and of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they that are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. 2. In his intercession he carrieth the same business of our salvation by favor and entreaty, which he hath also carried by command as a king. Hebrews 7, 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. With Hebrews 1, verse 3. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. 3. Consider how his kingdom doth support his priesthood and prophecy, and give vigor and efficacy to them both. And 1. His kingdom doth assist his prophecy, 1. By sustaining and keeping up the means of salvation and teaching by his gospel and ordinances against all the enemies that have risen up and bestirred themselves against the same ever since the beginning of the world. Thus he keepeth these pillars of his throne from ruin. Psalm 110, verses 2 and 5. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. 2. By making his gospel and ordinances have their full effectualness in the hearts of his people, to convince and convert them, and to pierce and condemn those that despise him. John 9:39. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. 2. His kingdom doth assist his priesthood, 1. By giving efficacy to his satisfaction, to reconcile the persons of the elect to God, and to obtain forgiveness of their sins. For it is his kingdom that doth convey the power of his priesthood into the soul. 2. By giving efficacy unto his intercession for keeping all those that are given to him by his Father. continually in a state of grace and favor. John 17, verses 11 and 24. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. 3. By making his death and resurrection effectual to subdue our lust and to set up his kingdom within us. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Romans 6, verses 4 and 5. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Use number 1. Of Christ's unction unto these offices. How excellent and eminent a person must our mediator be in whom these three offices concur, which take in all things that appertain to instruction and wisdom, to favor and entreaty, to power and acting, who is anointed unto all the high offices over the house of God, Hebrews 10:21, unto which great persons have at any time been anointed. The excellency of all high offices Christ in his person, so that as the apostle saith often of such a high priest, we may say such a mediator by way of excellency. Psalm 89, verses 19 and 20. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Isaiah 22:22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. 2. How well hath God provided for his people in Christ the mediator? 1. There must be a wonderful fullness of satisfaction which proceedeth from a person thus anointed. 2. An admirable weight in the intercession of a person carrying such high offices. 3. He that treasured up all his church's happiness in Christ, that he should be to them whatsoever they need, and that he should carry all offices whereof they can have use. Colossians 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. 4. From the wellspring of his unction he hath made another unction to flow to us, for calling us to high and honorable things and furnishing us for them. Revelation 1, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. 1 John 2, 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but at the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. 3. Let us make use of Christ's mediator in all his offices, and acknowledge him in them all, and take notice of the concurrence of these for affecting our happiness. And for this effect, 1. Let us study to be acquainted with our need of Christ in all his offices. Some men know not their need of a priest, but very few know their need of a teacher. They think they are very knowing while they are blind, but far fewer know their need of a king. They think that they can rule themselves. Romans 7, 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And yet our need of all these is such that we could not have been completely saved if any of these offices had been wanting or lacking in our mediator. We stand in need of a prophet, a priest, and a king. 2. Study to know and be convinced that there is in us a natural enmity against all these offices of Christ, the mediator. 1. Enmity against him as a prophet, against his teaching and against his truth, disliking his truths which cross our lust. John 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can bear it?" Quenching and resisting the voice and teaching of his Spirit. Isaiah 63:10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. 2. Enmity against him as a priest by undervaluing his person, suffering, satisfaction, righteousness, merits. Romans 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. 3. Enmity against him as a king, against his spiritual worship, commands, wages, a principle which controls them, and rebels against him. Romans 7:23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. 3. We must take with our need of Christ in these offices and lay down our enmity against them, that is, in the knowledge that we need not only a priest, but a prophet and a king. We must break off our rebellions against these his offices, and lay down the weapons whereby we have opposed them, which are mainly self-conceit and knowledge, or science, falsely so called, opposing him as a prophet. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2, And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. And self-will, opposing his kingdom, refusing to admit of his laws within us. Luke 19, verse 14, We will not have this man to rule over us. And self-worth or righteousness, opposing his priesthood by setting up something in the place of it. Romans 10, verse 3, For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. 4. Let us by all means take heed that the grace of God tendered to us through a mediator in all these offices be not in vain, through our own not seeking to it and laying hold on it. Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. A court of justice is a public sanctuary, but it actually relieveth none but those that seek unto it. Hebrews 6, verse 18. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. It is in vain as to our profit that Christ carrieth these offices if we do not make application to him for his teaching, his sacrifice, and his government. Galatians 2:21. Do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 9. We beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. 5. Let us have our hearts jointly and equally satisfied to receive him in all his offices, and not to divide his complete unction. Isaiah 55, verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Acts 5:31, Him that God exalteth with his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There be who divide his offices, who would be saved by his priesthood, but will neither be taught by his prophecy nor ruled by his kingdom. 2. Others who would be both saved and taught, but not commanded by him. Again, there be who would divide the things belonging to his offices, as one who would submit to his teaching by outward ordinances, but will not submit themselves to the inward teaching of his Spirit. Two, who will be content to take his satisfaction and merit of his death, but think they need not his intercession. Three, who would take the protection of his kingdom, but will not have the laws and government thereof. Four, who would be made happy by his means, but will not be made holy. 6. Let us labor to seek within us the experiment of the virtue of each of his offices, and of the several parts thereof, and things pertaining to the same, and 1. Of his prophecy, and not only of his doing the part of a prophet, and showing to us things more pleasant, but things more bitter also, even our sin and his reproofs. John 16, verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Psalm 50, verse 21. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. 2. Let us study to experience the power and efficacy of his priesthood in both parts thereof, of his satisfaction and of his intercession, of the death and life of our priest, and that to all the intents of these parts of that office, for reconciliation, for access to God, for bringing you in favor, for keeping you in favor, for perseverance, for righteousness, for holiness, and for salvation. Romans 5, verse 9 and 10. Much more then, being now justified by his love, by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Acts 5:31. Him that God exalteth with his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. 3. Let it be our endeavor also to feel within us the virtue of his kingdom, by taking on his yoke, submitting to his commands. Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, admitting him as a king upon a throne to rule within us. Luke 17:21. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Yielding him service. Psalm 2, verse 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Subduing your lust. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought of the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of Christ, committing yourselves to his protection and making it your refuge. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Use number 5. Try your improving of Christ's offices, and whether he carrieth them in vain, as to your reaping profit by them. 1. In general. 1. By your delight in the wise conjunction of them, insomuch that if it were at your disposing, you could not be content that any of them were lacking in him. 2. By your unsatisfiedness with yourselves, until you have had some good and some effect of each of them upon you. 2. More particularly, 1. If you have been under the efficacy of Christ's prophecy, no outward teaching will satisfy you till you feel the power of his Spirit teaching you inwardly. 2. If you have been under the efficacy of his priesthood, No sacrifice, no service, no prayers of your own will be rested on, but his sacrifice and intercession only. 3. If you have felt the efficacy of his kingdom, no externals of a well-ordered and ruled walk will content you without his kingdom within you. This ends the reading of tape number 14 of the Ark of the Covenant Opened, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption. Please go to the next tape in the series and continue listening. Thank you. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. Many free resources, as well as SWRB's complete mail order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you do have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, please send an email to add@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. This book, The Ark of the Covenant Opened, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption, is also available from Stillwater's Revival Books in softcover format at a discount in our A to Z author listings. And please don't forget to look over the 30 CDs that make up our Reformation Bookshelf CD set if you visit our website at swrb.com, as these CDs are a great way to build a major Reform library at a fraction of the cost of the printed book.